This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
And now, a yak.
Yak!
Yak! Welcome to episode number, I think this is episode number 19 of the Until the Whistle podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Myers. Happy to be here again. Haven't recorded since, gosh, what was that? National Signing Day, I think. The second National Signing Day. So, you know, a few things have bubbled up in the Longhorn sphere since then. And so we'll touch on those. It probably won't be a very long podcast because, you know, we're just kind of hitting some of the downtime of the off season. And so there's a few things that I certainly want to touch on, some of the hires that have been made, a little bit of the recruiting action, and then maybe some randomness here and there. Trying to think of, you know, really what have I been doing, I guess, since we last chatted. Haven't really been doing a ton outside of, you know, work, obviously. And then my brother and his family decided to move to California, which is interesting because, you know, I live in Austin. And so a lot of California is coming here these days. My brother and his family were living right outside of Dallas. And he took a job with one of my old employers out in California. And so they decided to make that move and officially got out there at the end of last week. But it was, you know, a pretty big ordeal of us, you know, all trying to kind of help out. So my parents had actually gone up there several weekends in a row. I did as well, with the exception of the weekend that I was in Houston for the funeral of my good friend that I had kind of spoke about on here on the last episode. And it just reminded me of how much I hate moving. You know, he's my younger brother by about 5 years, and I, you know, strongly encouraged him to have the company he was joining take care of his move completely. And in true little brother fashion, he felt that he could do it himself cheaper, or rather they had provided him a stipend if he wanted to go ahead and move himself. And so he felt that he could do it cheaper than the stipend. I tried to encourage him, you know, hey, I'd moved a couple of times and hadn't done so, you know, from a house, but, you know, I was moving from an apartment and hadn't done so with a full family. And he was doing it with his wife, two daughters, and a dog. And I just, you know, I couldn't see any way that it was going to make sense for him to, you know, try and take on the move himself. But my brother is a very do-it-yourself kind of guy, very handy, and he had to learn this one the hard way. So ended up being that it was going to cost several thousand dollars more for the movers to take all of their stuff, and he wasn't willing to pay that. But just for the stuff that they did take, it was more than the stipend. And then he ended up having to rent a U-Haul to get the rest of the stuff. And so his wife drove the van, he drove the U-Haul, and they made the trek from, like I said, right outside of Dallas to California. On their way, had to stop. I think they stopped in New Mexico, and then I think they stopped in Arizona, particularly in Arizona for the night because there was a snowstorm. So they were on the road in the middle of a snowstorm. We're sending us pictures and stuff. My sister-in-law, she shared her location with me so I could kind of track them and see where they were. And my mom was a nervous wreck, so I was keeping my mom up to date. But they made it, and so they're out there now. I'm going to get out there, not this weekend, but next weekend to see them, help my brother get some stuff in order because I'm sure he has things a little bit of everywhere and that he could use, you know, an adult male's help. I know my sister-in-law is awesome, but there's just certain things that she's not able to do when trying to watch after two kiddos at the same time. So it'll be good to get a trip out there. I'm sure the weather will be nicer than it has been here. And that's the other thing. I mean, the weather is so up and down here. I think tomorrow maybe. Let me take a look at the weather where I'm sitting here. Tomorrow The forecast is a high of 75. Then on Thursday, a high of 56. And then Friday, we're back in the 70s. Saturday, back in the 70s. And then Sunday, 51. And then next week in the 40s. Like, I need the weather to make up its mind. I'm ready for it, you know, to go ahead and be, you know, warm again. I'll take the heat over the cold any day. And that's just kind of where I'm at. So tonight I'm sipping on some Method and Madness. That's that whiskey I told you about from Ireland when I went to the Jameson Distillery. And it's the one that the masters and their apprentices make together. So they call it Method and Madness. Pretty good. And I'm looking forward to Twin Liquors semi-annual $1 sale. And that's going to be on Thursday. So they're doing like for any of you whiskey lovers out there, Scotch lovers, you can get some really good deals there at Twin Liquors on that day, on Thursday and through the weekend. But I recommend going as early as you can on Thursday because a lot of the good stuff gets picked over. But they're doing a Facebook Live event tomorrow night where you can actually watch to kind of see what some of the specials are going to be, I think. So I'm going to try and catch that and in hopes of, you know, finding some good deals on some stuff and grabbing a bottle or two of something on Thursday. So I'm recording this on a Tuesday night. The Facebook Live event is on Wednesday night, and then beginning Thursday morning, I believe through the weekend, is when the sale's going on. So check it out. You know, basically they cut their prices down pretty low and then add a dollar to it. So, good stuff. Like I said, especially if you're a whiskey or scotch drinker. So I guess it's time to dive into some of the Longhorn football news. For the most part, things have been relatively quiet on that front, but, there have been some analyst hirings that have been made, and I think they're really interesting. You know, I know that, Ketch has, you know, talked a lot about it. Anwar has talked a lot about it on his podcast on the Yak. But I feel like it's worth continuing to dive into because this is kind of a paradigm that we haven't really seen with Texas football before. And one in which, Texas is really beginning to flex its muscle in a way that I think it should as one of the top, you know, programs in the country. And that's in the way of hiring these former coaches, from different, you know, institutions that were, you know, let go for whatever reason and bringing them on as analysts. And it's a soft landing spot for them, where they can kind of be out of the limelight, just do true football work. In some instances, you know, help get them lined up. I know, people have said that, you know, none of these coaches are, you know, being hired in case something doesn't work out, but you know, I think we would be fools to think that, you know, as this staff has continued to develop, it certainly has had the hallmark of having continuity. But the more and more success that this staff has, the more that people are going to be looking to come and poach some of that talent. And that's when you know that you have a pretty good thing going is when, you know, people are coming after your coaches. And so it wouldn't be a shock to me to see someone like a Drew Merringer, you know, get a look elsewhere, maybe even Stan Drayton or, you know, someone of that ilk. And so, you know, some of these guys that we're going to talk about here, you know, would have an opportunity to be in the program, know the personnel, know, the schemes and that kind of thing and have the potential to fill in. But in the meantime, just bring an added level of, you know, I guess trained eyes, to the fold and would really help in the way of game planning, help in the way of, you know, scouting, I'm sorry. And that's both from a, opponent standpoint and a self scout standpoint, being able to, you know, take people that are seasoned in the game, versus, you know, just, someone that's young and up and coming and, you know, trying to kind of get in where they can fit in as a quality control coach or something of that ilk. That you often see, you know, some of the guys that they're, you know, coming fresh out of college. And I don't say that disparagingly at all about the quality control coaches, because I think they all certainly serve a role that is very much needed. But there's an added factor when you have a coach that, you know, comes with some of the credentials that some of these coaches do. So we'll dive into, I guess, the most recent one first. And that's Andre Coleman. He was a former Kansas State offensive coordinator and wide receivers coach. And so, you know, here you have somebody that's coming in familiar with the Big 12, familiar with Big 12 defenses, and familiar with how Kansas State offense attempted to attack our defense in the time that he was there. So, you know, that's a very valuable resource that you have, someone that's familiar with the style of play in the conference, familiar with the opponents, and, you know, familiar with us, the Texas Longhorn program, as well. And so I think having somebody of that caliber on the analyst roster is going to be huge in the way of continuing to just help the players be put in the best positions. Because ultimately, that's all you can do is do everything you can to prepare these players and then kind of just turn them loose. And so I think that was a really good hire. Another hire was that of Paul Williams. He was a former University of Houston defensive backs coach, had a lot of success there. And at some other stops, I think I read that he used to be at Miami for a period of time. So, you know, he's you know, used to working with, you know, some top talent and has done really well in sending some guys to the NFL. So, you know, that's another area where you continue to, you know, help out with what Todd Orlando and those guys are doing. Craig Nivar, Jason Washington, Oscar Giles, what they're all doing on the defensive side of the ball. And so I think bringing someone in of Williams caliber is going to just, you know, continue to help that. And then probably what I guess most would consider the crown jewel of the analysts is Larry Fedora. So the former University of North Carolina head coach who's known for his offensive genius. And so I think one of the things that you notice here is in each of the hires, there's some continuity with what it is we're doing and what it is that where they have some experience. And so I think it'll help to, you know, continue to have someone in the fold like that. You know, my mind can't help but wander and say, you know, would, you know, let's say things don't work out with Beck for, you know, Coach Beck this year for whatever reason, or if, you know, he were to decide to, you know, go for a different job, or if Stan Drayton were to, you know, take a head coaching job somewhere, something like that, that you'd easily have someone in Larry Fedora that could fill a position that would be beneficial. And so I think it'll be an interesting, you know, thing to try to kind of trace and follow and take a look at, you know, how these different coaches could be implemented. And then I think with him came Dylan Fedora. He was a UNC quality control assistant and Larry Fedora's son, but he also played the wide receiver position when he was in college. And so those four guys will all start work on March 4th, which is this coming Monday. And that'll give them some time to start getting acclimated before the football team hits the field the following week to begin spring practice. And then there's still talk of David Beatty, the former Kansas head coach, to be pulled into the mix. And if you're able to grab a guy like him, I think with his connections and ties and experience, that would serve a considerable ways in the realm of recruiting the DFW area, which I think most would agree that, you know, Texas has kind of missed out on a little bit in the past. And I know that he wouldn't be able to go on the road as, you know, none of these coaches can, but that doesn't stop them from connecting and making, you know, really good positive contributions to the recruiting efforts, which I think they all could. You know, you routinely hear kids that are being recruited currently talk about Michael Huff and Brian Carrington. And now you're even starting to hear them talk about Rashad Samples. He was a former football player at Oklahoma State. And then he had his dad is Coach Samples at Duncanville. So, you know, just moves that Coach Herman has made in further solidifying his staff to, you know, just optimize them for, you know, hopefully what would be the best the best outcome, and that is to really put together a squad of, you know, coaches, staff, analysts that are all in line, all pulling one way, but people have some very specialized skills that would allow us to, you know, really take advantage of it. And this is something that, you know, you see some of the bigger budget, you know, schools do. You know, everybody has wondered, how is Coach Saban able to do it? And I think this is, you know, a way of implementing a similar system. And I think I had even heard that, you know, Larry Fedora took the job at Texas over a job at Alabama. I'm not sure how true that is or not, but it just goes to show that, you know, Texas is rightfully, you know, kind of going back and cementing itself, or trying to cement itself back into the college football elite. And it will not be for lack of attention to detail in areas like this. So I think it's something that you can really commend Coach Herman for. And, you know, again, I think this is something that Amwar does a column every Sunday that I enjoy reading on Orange Bloods, and Ketchum even spoke to it. I will as well. It just seems like Coach Herman is really having his way in that he's able to fully bring his vision to light of what Texas football should be. And that's, you know, all encompassing from the facilities that are experiencing upgrades and have already, you know, experienced some upgrades in the short time he's been here, with things like the locker room, to, you know, working hand in hand with Chris Del Conte and the student or fan, but, you know, particularly the student experience. And then, you know, on the recruiting front, just, I mean, really just kind of taking a full pronged approach and doing a great job of knocking it out of the park with a lot of the up and coming talent. And his, you know, I think this is where I talk about, you know, when you truly reach that elite level as a team, it's because you've stacked recruiting class after recruiting class after recruiting class on top of one another. That's truly elite. And not just from a just a rankings standpoint, but from a fit standpoint. And so everything, you know, kind of seems to be coming together well. And they're already off to the races on the class of 2020. When you look at that class, it already has five commitments. But, you know, of those five commitments, three of them are offensive linemen from the state of Texas. All of them highly thought of. In Jalen Garth, Jake Majors, and Logan Parr. And that'll go a ways to, you know, helping bring in other guys into the fold. I think I want to say his name is Chad Lindbergh, or maybe it's even Lynchburg, who's considered as the top offensive lineman in the state. And he has a pretty good rapport with several of the other commitments. And then Damian George of North Shore, which would, you know, again, being able to secure a commitment from someone like him would go a long ways to the recruitment of Zachary Evans, the running back out of North Shore, who they've both stated they would like to play together. So, you know, it's really interesting in how they're going about approaching the recruiting. Sounds like there's, you know, some solid momentum on guys that have yet to commit, but, you know, could be, you know, kind of teetering the line. And then, you know, of course, they have or have had for, you know, some time. I think he was the first commitment of this class. The quarterback Hudson Card out of Lake Travis in Austin. And then Mookie Cooper is an athlete, running back / wide receiver out of St. Louis, who also committed recently and just has really dynamic film. When you look at him, you know, he's one of those guys, Big D. I talk about my boys in our group chat, and my man Big D is a recruiting junkie. And anytime we get, you know, someone of Mookie's ilk, you know, last year when we were getting the Jake Whittingtons, the Jake Smiths, or what is it? Jake Whittington? It's not Jake Whittington. It's why is that escaping me? We're gonna do this live. Jordan Whittington, I'm sorry, Jordan Whittington, Jake Smith, and even Brew McCoy, you know, he would say, you know, hey, Marcus, are we getting, you know, enough of the Ramontz Taylor types? And when he talks about the Ramontz Taylor type, not necessarily the type in that you would correlate their play to someone like Ramontz. But Ramontz was always my standard of guys that we had on campus when I was at UT that, you know, were truly game breakers. I mean, you could throw them a screen, you could throw them a hitch, and they could take it to the house and really, you know, kind of strike fear in defenses. And so I think that's one of the things that we've been lacking. I mean, hell, it's been reported time and time again that, you know, last year we didn't have a play over 50 yards. And that when Coach Herman, you know, kind of after the first meeting with OU, you know, looked at his guys and said, hey, I want guys like that, you know, and he was referring to like the Marquise Browns of the world. And so I think, you know, Texas is really off to a fast start and is, you know, doing some really good things in terms of positioning themselves for other guys in the state of Texas and then outside of the state of Texas. You know, again, Coach Herman has had some success with pulling in some guys from California, guys from Arizona, going back to the well in St. Louis with Mookie Cooper. He was Marcus Washington's teammate. And so, you know, really just doing a good job of kind of building out that national landscape. And if you look at what the, you know, current powerhouses are doing, that is exactly what they do. I mean, Alabama grabs guys from everywhere. And if those are the teams that we're ultimately wanting to be compared to, you know, we're going to have to do a lot of the same things. And so, you know, you could see in upwards of anywhere from 2, 3, maybe even 4, you know, 5-star caliber players from outside of the state of Texas, you know, potentially signing on with Texas by the time that this 2020 class is all said and done. So, you know, there's guys, there's a 5-star linebacker, I want to say, in California named Justin Flo, who just, I mean, he just looks the part when you watch his film and would really fit in well in Todd Orlando's scheme and is a guy that can just certainly just run really well and hit. He's friends with the Gabriel Floyd, friends with Brew McCoy. And so having guys like that already in the fold and being able to speak to the program is huge. I think there's a 5-star corner that we're pursuing, and I want to say he's out of Arizona. His name's Keely Ringo, and you know, have a former Longhorn that is his defensive back coach, right? So, you know, ultimately, you would hope that the coach is, you know, steering him to making the best choice possible for him, but you would have to imagine that that's a feather in Texas's cap. And then one of the things that I wanted to talk about that I don't really know how realistic it is, but it's been reported that, you know, both Zach Evans and Kendall Milton being another 5-star running back out of California. And then Zach Evans, of course, the all everything running back out of North Shore, have both kind of entertained the idea of playing together. And I think, you know, in years past, I would have said, you know, that's absolutely, you know, out of the question for us to really do. But, you know, when you think about how they're building this class, when they're, you know, kind of structuring it in a way so that these guys see that, you know, we're really putting together a formidable O-line with, you know, the class of that they'll be in, the 2020 class, combine that with the last two classes that have been taken. And then, you know, probably still not done from the grad transfer standpoint, in hoping that, you know, the grad transfer from potentially Georgia Tech and even Virginia could be joining the program, you know, in the coming weeks, months, whatever you would call it. So I think, you know, these guys are all paying attention and are able to see that what Coach Herman is trying to do is just put together a squad of elite playmakers. And they have a number in the fold that are already on campus and getting, you know, to go through workouts. We'll get to go through spring ball, which will certainly give them a leg up on their, you know, classmates that won't arrive until the summer. But I think, you know, recruits in this day and age are smart. They communicate with one another. You know, they have group chats, group text messages, and they're talking about things that are going to be most beneficial to them, both in the collegiate setting and then potentially at the next level. And one of the things you see more and more in the NFL is there's, you know, less of the true bell cow backs. You have guys that come in with not a lot of tread on their tires because, You know, maybe they were in a platoon system in college, or, you know, some even had some injuries in college. And so they didn't, you know, get the full workload, so to speak. What would that be, you know, for guys like Zach Evans and Kendall Milton to be on the same team, be on a team that's on the rise, certainly has, you know, the attention of the college football landscape after beating Georgia in the Sugar Bowl, and then be spelling, you know, one another with comparable talent, right? I mean, it would do nothing but keep them fresh, keep them, you know, hungry. The competition in the room would be strong because, you know, we still, you know, I'm not counting out Keontae Ingram for either of these guys. But I think the other thing I appreciate about it is that while, you know, I think it's pretty clear that Zach Evans is, you know, priority 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, all the eggs aren't solely going into the Zach Evans basket. And, you know, I'm still gun shy from the days where we did that with the Rhett Bowmars of the world or the Adrian Petersons of the world, where you kind of put all your eggs in one basket. And then if it doesn't turn out your way, you're kind of left scrambling and trying to, you know, talk other guys into it who are now feeling slighted because, you know, they probably had an interest to come at one point, but we're more or less being told, you know, we're not really interested in you right now. So it'll be really interesting to see, you know, how the class continues to fill out as these different, what are they, like the challenge? I can't think of the right word, but there's these different events that are hosted in different cities. So, for example, I think Rivals just had one in Houston this past weekend, kind of like all-star camps or challenges, if you will. And the more and more these camps are occurring, you're hearing, you know, different interviews, not just from, you know, your Orange Bloods or your 24/7s, but, you know, from the national media outlets or the guys that cover recruiting at the national level, not just team specific. And they're giving more and more quotes from some of the top players at these camps that are considering Texas. And so I think Coach Herman is doing an excellent job of continuing to get these guys on campus, of continuing to show them kind of what the plan is, of, you know, where they would fit in, you know, both on the field and off. And Austin has a lot to sell. The University of Texas has a lot to sell. And when you're, you know, going up against the A&Ms of the world, I think, you know, we more than will have the ability to hold our own. Now, I'm also a very big proponent of, you know, what you're doing in recruiting really isn't going to matter if, you know, you're not able to put it all together on the field. But there is a number of guys, both in state and out of state, that are, you know, very highly thought of and are certainly considering Texas when it comes to where their potential, you know, collegiate home could be. So my hat goes off to Tom Herman. You know, I'll be honest, I have been skeptical. You know, I have been reluctant to buy in, but I think what he did in the Sugar Bowl and then what he's currently doing in terms of arranging his staff and the way he's going about recruiting has me really, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid. I'll always be a bit of a pessimist, I guess, or one that's somewhat cautiously optimistic just because, you know, we've all, you know, kind of gotten our hopes up prematurely in the past. But I think he's really building this team into something that can certainly compete this year in 2020 for the Big 12 championship, which is the goal at all times at Texas. And then, you know, if not this year, certainly in the following season, I think are in prime contention for being in the national conversation for the college football playoff. And really, that's all you can ask for. You know, once you get there, it's just a matter of being hot and making sure that you have a team that's rolling. And so, you know, I'm really interested to see, you know, what this offseason brings. I'm going to try and get out to several practices. I guess that's one of the benefits of being a former player is I can go out to practice whenever I want. And I, you know, I'll talk some at a high level about what I see. But, you know, I'm also kind of one of those people that just having been there doesn't feel like everybody deserves to know everything, right? I mean, I think at the end of the day, we all want the program to be successful. And while I know this probably isn't what everybody wants to hear, if you could guarantee that the program was going to be successful and some of that hinged on you not getting all the information about every little thing that's taking place right away, because it continues to give us a bit of a competitive advantage, wouldn't you want that? And so I know we live in this society where, you know, information is at our fingertips and we want it all now, now, now. But something, I think there's something to be said for some of the delayed gratification in it. I think there's something to be said for allowing guys to develop and practice without, you know, the worry of information leaking out about injuries and getting, you know, that information getting back to families that, you know, don't necessarily know what's going on just yet and those kinds of things. And I think UT does a great job of handling it. I know there are some guys that, you know, cover the team for a living and, you know, they may disagree and that, you know, certainly impacts some of their ability to get access and that kind of thing. I know that people pay for subscriptions on Orange Bloods and 24/7 and other, you know, recruiting sites or team sites rather, you know, to get information. And so I get the concept of it, but I'm just trying to kind of give a different perspective of, you know, why some of that information is sometimes slow to come. So at any rate, I think that's pretty much all I got for this episode. You know, wasn't too, I guess, content heavy, but there just hasn't been a whole lot going on. I did want to talk about, you know, the few things that have taken place in the recent days. But I suspect as, you know, spring football picks up, that we'll have some more to discuss. I plan on, you know, trying to get some of the guys. It's just been a matter of trying to get the scheduling right, really, for me to get some of my former teammates on. And so I plan on trying to make that happen in the coming weeks as well. And so, you know, just ask that you guys continue to give a listen. You know, I appreciate you taking out the time to listen to me, you know, rant a little bit about things that are on my mind. You certainly don't have to. You could be spending your time in other ways. And that I'm well aware of. So I'm certainly appreciative of you listening in. A lot of good stuff on the Yak being put out by the guys that are helping to deliver this content. So, you know, again, I thank the guys at the Yak for the platform. And then thank you, you know, the listener for giving me a listen. You can contact me at Marcus Myers on all social media. And I'd love to hear from you. Love to, you know, get your thoughts on anything I'm talking about, any kind of topics you'd like me to cover, anything like that. So with that, again, I'm your host, Marcus Myers. This has been episode number 19 of the Until the Whistle podcast. And I'll catch you the next time the whistle blows.